This information is subject to a disclaimer at the end of this podcast. Please ensure that you listen to the disclaimer and go to www.ubs.com for further information about UBS.
Hi, everybody, and thanks for tuning in into UBS Research Pod Hub, a channel that shares insights from economists, strategists, and equity analysts on the pivotal questions and events shaping today's markets. My name is Patrick Hummel. I'm the head of the Global Orders Research Team at UBS. And in this episode, we're going to be taking a drive through the current landscape for electric cars. And here I'm joined by Paul Gong, who's heading the China Autos Research Team at UBS. So, Paul, thanks for joining. My first question to you, it looks like all electric vehicle stocks are just going through the roof in China. Is it a hype or is there something really changing in the landscape for electric cars in China?
Yeah, thanks, Patrick. I mean, when the share price is doubling or tripling within 2 or 3 months, you know, not so much is really happening in such short time. But fundamentally, underground, for the first time, we're indeed seeing some Chinese companies are making some decent electric car products. You know, historically, Chinese car brands hardly exist outside China, and it was never that competitive when they were making internal combustion engine cars. But this time, with the electric cars, for the first time, Chinese companies has emerged on the global surface and are building some high quality products at some more competitive costs, leveraged with the supply chain. And not only these cars are electric driven or battery driven, but they are also more fun in a way. It's connected, it has some autonomous driving functions, and it has some really telematics infotainment system that gives you fun. So, Patrick, during the past several years, China accounts to roughly half of global electric car sales. But this year, the European EV sales almost tripled year over year. Do you think Europe would become the global number one region for electric cars?
Well, Paul, I think Europe indeed is one of the three key regions for electric vehicles in the future. And, you know, these three key regions happen to be the three largest car markets globally, China, Europe, and the United States. And Europe, I think, offers right now a great combination of very strong regulatory support, the green recovery plan, high subsidies to consumers to buy electric vehicles, and also an increasingly penalizing regulatory framework for owning and buying combustion engine cars. Buying a combustion engine car and owning it will just get more expensive over time and more of a hassle for the consumer, whereas EVs are getting, financially speaking, more attractive, and the use cases are getting better and better, not least also because the range per charge is now approaching, let's say, 500 kilometers under the fuel efficiency norm standard, or even higher in some cases. That just makes it a good use case for European consumers. And indeed, we think the EV sales penetration, so to say, the EVs and the overall new car sales mix will grow the fastest in Europe in the next few years. But we also have pretty high expectations for other regions. Needless to say, Paul, that in China, we're also back on a strong growth path for EV sales. But now also in the US, with a change in the administration under a Biden presidency, we'll most likely get a significant improvement in the regulatory environment in favor of electric cars. But most importantly, you know, the technology is just getting cheaper, more accessible. There are more good EVs in the market, consumer choice is increasing, and that is what ultimately drives adoption of electric cars in the global car market. You know, talking about China, Paul, it looks like the country or the economy could really have a dominant role in electric cars, building from a position of strength, in particular on the battery side. There's a lot of control by Chinese companies on battery production, on the raw materials. So will, you know, the Chinese electric car industry become, you know, the next solar, that it's going to be just the dominant player as much as it has been the case in solar, for example?
Well, we're not really that having that high expectation for now. I think for the battery, because these EV batteries, they are coming from the consumer electronics batteries. And the consumer electronics industry has been really dominated by Eastern Asia, including China, Korea, Japan, etc., during the past several decades. So that's probably the key reason why the battery business are predominantly by the Eastern Asian companies. But regarding the electric cars, there is still some branding perspective. There is still some cultural perspective. And needless to say, some European premium brands, they are still like well impressed into our customers' mindset on the global basis, including Chinese customers. But within China, we are seeing there are a lot more startup companies, and even the traditional car makers seems to be more agile transforming towards electric cars compared to some of the global comparisons. So there could be some chance. We do see some positive elements, including the supply chain, which is widely available in China, including customers' mindsets. These are more tech savvy and more open-minded customers willing to try something new, and also including some relative favorable policies the government is pushing, as well as the infrastructure rolling out. So all these are some positive elements, I would say. But to say like a dominant role, maybe there is still a lot of work to be done.
Can you talk a little bit about how important it is to have access to cutting-edge battery technology, and how do you think the battery landscape will evolve? Will all electric vehicle makers need to make their own batteries? Can they just rely on supply coming from the Asian cell producers? We see quite different strategies here. So what do you think is the right strategy, and will, you know, batteries just be tied for longer?
Yes, indeed. The battery plays 1/3 of the value of the electric car, and it's one of the key competitive edge for the electric cars, which determine how long the car could run and how durable the car life or the useful life of the vehicle would be and how safe it could be. So it's indeed important. We are saying right now it's still dominated by Eastern Asian companies from Japan, Korea, and China. And unlike in the cars, you have different brands, different flavor, different culture. For the battery, it's pretty much competing on the performance and the cost. So once you gain some advantage, that advantage is really on the global basis. And we could imagine the battery competitive landscape to be a lot more concentrated than the car brands, because that is essentially to business sales instead of like the cars to the individual customers, where the branding and culture could lead to more diversified or fragmented markets. Would there be continue to be tight for longer? Actually, it's not tight in China. It's always easy to build new capacity in China. But what I understand is it's pretty tight in Europe. So maybe either this could be solved by some exports of batteries from Eastern Asia to Europe to solve this, or it has to, at least these battery makers have to accelerate the capacity building up in Europe. And it's not only just the battery capacity, it also involves the capacity along the supply chain, including cathode material, anode material, separators, electrolytes, as well as a further upstream battery materials. So there is indeed a lot of work to be done. And there are also some strong needs of sophisticated workers who can operate this equipment. And this equipment actually, unlike the previous mechanical manufacturing, it's actually more a little bit like chemical / a little bit mechanical. So these neighbors, sophisticated neighbors, this is also a key element, whether or not the capacity would be enough in Europe if Europe do want to build a local supply chain.
And that's, by the way, also what we see here amongst the Western world car makers, that they're also getting more involved into battery sourcing, not just via simple supply contracts, but also, for example, with co-owned battery plants. Clearly wouldn't be surprised to see more of this happening, just because if we are right with our pretty bullish view on electric car sales in the next 5 to 10 years, it just means that battery cells and access to battery cells will remain a competitive edge for some players.
Yeah, so maybe let's move to the next question regarding the regulation in Europe and in US. Right now, the European electric car subsidies, seems to be pretty generous. Do you think these subsidies could remain that high for long? And will the regulatory framework change to a better or worse for the electric cars? How do you think?
Well, Paul, you know, back in spring, we got a lot of questions from investors. That was like March, April, when we were really at the peak of the pandemic here in Europe. You know, will climate action matter at all? And isn't that EV topic, electric vehicles, just completely off the radar screen? And, you know, just 2 months later, we saw that the exact opposite of what was the fear back then happened, namely that here in Europe, we got a very comprehensive green recovery plan, so to say. National governments raised their EV subsidies, and they're here to stay. I think, of course, when there is a change in government in some country, there can always be some adjustment in policy, but the direction of travel is rock solid, and it keeps even accelerating. You know, the European Union is currently thinking about tightening the CO2 targets for 2030 even further, so that you would have to reduce, as a car maker, your CO2 fleet-wide emissions by 50% over today. And that means every second car would have to be fully electric by then. But frankly, I think after 2025, we don't even need to be focused that much on regulation anymore, because it's going to be a consumer pull rather than a regulatory push-driven technology. Consumers will want to buy EVs, and it will be tough to find arguments not to buy an electric car. So we think, of course, you know, having the regulatory framework in place is very helpful, because it safeguards investment decisions of the car makers. And it's maybe also a wake-up call to the last players in the market to understand and appreciate that EVs are the future. But I think the chances are high that we'll well surpass these EV targets for 2030. So I think overall, the political direction of travel is very clear. And that's why I also think the regulatory framework will remain very benign for electric cars. And as I had mentioned, there's another leg to the story, which is making life even harder for those who want to own a combustion engine car. For example, the UK government formally announced a plan to completely ban the sale of new combustion engine cars from 2030 onwards. I mean, that's not that much of a long time span. It's 9 years ahead, and auto model cycles are 7 years, if not longer. So this is pretty relevant. And of course, the signaling of that would already have a demand impact even before the introduction of such a sales ban, because it affects residual values, and consumers will, of course, also anticipate some of these regulatory changes. So I think that, you know, accelerates or reinforces that trend to electric cars even further. And in the US, I initially mentioned in one sentence, yes, the change in presidency likely also changes the dynamics for electric vehicle demand there. But I think ultimately, and I cannot emphasize that enough, it's not only a question about subsidizing an industry for a long time or providing a regulatory framework that forces the transition. I think the transition will happen anyway, because EVs will be cheaper to produce than a combustion engine car. It will be cheaper for the consumer to own it. And in that scenario, you don't need regulation to enforce such a disruption. It just happens. But Paul, maybe last question for you then. We talked a lot now about electric cars, and when we mean electric cars, we mean really battery electric cars, not fuel cell cars. There has been quite some talk this year in the financial community about fuel cells. Once again, I mean, it's been very quiet on that front. Like 10, 15 years ago, there was a bit of a hype, but then it cooled off, and now it's back on the radar screen. So is it serious this time? Will it happen this time? Or is it just, again, some wishful thinking of some people that fuel cells will have their breakthrough now?
From the cost point of view, and also from the technology maturity point of view, it's definitely far away compared to the battery electric ones. And it could be significantly more expensive than the lithium battery ones. And in terms of the power efficiency, because you have the reactor for the hydrogen to react into water and then generate electricity, then pass to the lithium battery, then drive the electric motor. So eventually, the efficiency could be significantly lower than the battery EVs. And also, hydrogen atoms, they are small. They kind of exchange with the with the metal pipes on the surface, and all these are still some technical issues, not really well solved. So meanwhile, the lithium battery electric vehicles, the technology is also continuously evolving, and the cost is continuously declining. So far, we do not really see the chance for the fuel cell to catch up with the lithium battery ones. Of course, the advantage of fuel cell is you can recharge, you can refuel the hydrogen almost within 5 minutes, but you can probably not recharge your lithium battery vehicles within 5 minutes. That is the key advantage. And that goes to the heavy-duty trucks running along the highway. So if you think those trucks are running on the highway, if they are running 300, 400 kilometers, that is just 3 or 4 hours. If you are using the battery electric vehicles, basically number one, you need to stop at least half an hour or 1 hour to recharge it. That is a waste of time. On the other hand, the lithium battery itself is also a lot heavier because the energy density is relatively low. So that would occupy some weight for the trucks. So the fuel cell application right now seems to be most likely to be on the trucks on the highway. And that also needs the infrastructure to support. Even today, we are still seeing some challenges in terms of the charging infrastructure. And when you have to roll out the hydrogen refueling stations, that would be a big challenge for the whole world. But if you are just need to build these hydrogen stations along the highway, then that becomes a lot easier, and it's also far away from the residential area, so the safety concerns or the NIMBYism is getting a lot easier. Chinese government has a pledge to the carbon neutrality by 2060. So basically, by then, basically you cannot allow the gasoline or diesel vehicles continue to run. So I think developing some fuel cell technologies in preparations for the commercial vehicles, for the heavy-duty trucks, especially the long-distance logistic trucks running on the highway, that might still make some sense in my view. But for the passenger cars, it seems that a battery electric vehicle is already good enough, and it's also cheap enough, and it's also supported by the charging infrastructure. So that's probably a better choice. I think that is what I think regarding the fuel cell right now.
And battery electric cars, more fun to drive. I have to admit, I tried both. I had more fun in the battery electric car. Great. Thanks very much, Paul, for participating in this little chat. So thank you very much for visiting the UBS Research Pod Hub. That was our introduction to the current EV landscape and where it's heading to with me, Patrick Hummel, and with my colleague, Paul Gong. So we hope you enjoyed it, and tune in again for more investment insights on this channel. Thanks a lot.
Thanks. Bye.
This content has been prepared by UBS AG, its subsidiaries and or affiliates, and is purely informational in nature. It is not investment research and does not contain an investment recommendation nor investment or professional advice. It is not an offer or solicitation to engage in any investment activity, and you should seek your own financial, tax, and legal advice before engaging in any such activity. UBS has no responsibility to you in relation to this content. It has no regard to your personal circumstances or investment objectives, and receiving it does not imply any form of client relationship with UBS for any legal, regulatory, or tax purpose. This content is not intended for distribution into any jurisdiction where to do so would be contrary to law or regulation. UBS does not accept any liability over the content of such material or reliance upon any information contained herein. The views and opinions expressed by any guest speaker or third party are not those of UBS. Accordingly, UBS does not accept any liability over any such views and opinions expressed by such persons. This content is the valuable intellectual property of UBS, and UBS specifically prohibits the redistribution of it in whole or in part without its prior written permission. Copyright UBS 2020. The key symbol and UBS are among the registered and unregistered trademarks of UBS. All rights reserved.